Open your Bibles to Psalms 14. Psalms 14. We'll read on Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the three witnesses you have left on earth. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that convicts this world of sin. We thank you, Lord, for the water, for your precious word that discerns the thoughts and intents. And we thank you, Lord, for the blood that cleanses us from all sin. I pray, dear Lord, that you would speak to every heart that's here. You would put a blessing to each one. I pray, Father, that above all, that you would receive all the honor and glory, for only thou art worthy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to speak this morning on what God calls fools. Fools is a word that's all over the scriptures, but on three occasions, God is calling people fools. And if you belong to any one of these groups, and as we go along, you're going to notice that so many people are in these categories. You don't need to stay there. My concern and my desire is that you would come out of this group, that you would serve the Lord, that you would get saved and serve Jesus. But you know, the thing is, two of these verses that I'm going to use, the Lord is talking to individuals, and right here, he's talking to a group or a class of people. And of course, I look at this as being the most dangerous one here on Psalm chapter 14. But you know, the word fool is something that we're very familiar with. It's something that we all use a lot. I know it comes out of my mouth many times more than what I wish it would. But it's something that many times we see things in this world. We see sin. We see things being committed by people. And the first thing out of my mouth is, oh, fool. The other day we were going home from church, me and my wife. And I'm traveling on Loop 410, going about 60 miles an hour. And two vehicles, they passed us at about 100 miles an hour. They were chasing each other and just weaving in and out. The first things out of my mouth was, fools. They're going to hurt somebody. And how many times have you used the same word when you see on television, especially when you watch the video of Zarqawi when he's beheading an American? I can't help but say, fool. I can't help but say, fool, when you see the Twin Towers being bombed, being wrecked by those airplanes. It upsets me. But you know, the thing is that there's nothing wrong with saying fool. We see also in the scripture that the Apostle Paul also calls some Christians fools. He says to the Galatians, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? So there's nothing wrong with calling somebody a fool or foolish when they've done something wrong. The Apostle Paul was a pastor. He was a preacher. It's okay for him to correct the church. The pastors are supposed to do the same thing. Later on, you see the Apostle Paul in the same book of Galatians. He says, have you become so foolish? Haven't you started in the flesh, in the spirit, or now you made perfect in the flesh? So there's nothing wrong, my friend, with saying fool or foolish. All of us were born foolish. The Bible says that the heart of a child, or rather foolishness, is bound in the heart of children. We were all born foolish. That's why it was necessary for mom and dad to spank you many times so they can drive that foolishness out of you. Nevertheless, I'd like to give you a warning from the scriptures. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 5, he says, whosoever says thou fool, you're in danger of hellfire. Whosoever shall say thou fool. But I want you to understand something when you read it in this context. God is speaking about calling a brother. Not only that, but he's saying when you call a brother without a cause. So if you have a cause, you can't say it. That's what he's actually telling you. That's why Paul was able to have that liberty to say, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" So we see that we need to know what the Scripture says. But the word fool, my friend, appears all over the Scriptures. Even in the book of Proverbs, you find it over 30 times. It is something that we need to be aware of. And you don't want to be called a fool by God. But you know, here in chapter 14 of Psalms, you read chapter 14, the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." You know that you'll find the same thing on chapter 53. It is not a coincidence. It is not an error of those who translated the Bible. It is not an error of God to repeat himself twice. Many times you find the stories in the Scriptures. You find the same story once, twice, three times. The way I look at it, if God repeats it two or three times, it must be very important. Amen. This is very important. Obviously, there's many people that believe that there is no God. Or at least they profess that there is no God. But I want you to know that this guy, he's also saying it in his heart. Most of the people who don't believe or want to say it, they say it in their heart. They don't have the guts to say it up front. They know that they will be confronted with so many things. The Bible tells you very plainly. The Apostle John says in 2 John, in chapter 1, he says that there are many. There are many deceivers. And that's what they're called. They're deceivers. They're called Antichrist. And there's many of them. So there's no doubt in my mind, I have found many. I've had friends that also said they don't believe there is a God. But God says they're the biggest fools of all. Because if you don't believe there is a God for sure, you'll wind up in hell. But you know, it even tells you, the Apostle John, he says, if any come unto you and does not have the doctrine of Christ, you are not to have nothing to do with him. You are not to even invite him into your house. You are not to even say, "Godspeed." And so many times I have gone and talked to people or been at their houses, going door to door, talking to people about Jesus. They don't believe that there is a God. Or they don't believe in Jesus Christ, that he's God. I can't say, "God bless you." I can't invite them into my house. But I want you to know that just because they don't believe in God or they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, and there's so many religions that don't believe that, that doesn't give you the right or the authority to hate them. God says, if your enemies hate you, you love them. You're supposed to love, you're supposed to preach the gospel to them. So I'm not giving you an excuse to say, "Well, if they don't believe that Jesus is God, I can't invite him. That means I can't tell him nothing. I can't tell him about Jesus." No, Jesus says, "Go ye into all the world and preach it to every creature." He says, "Preach the gospel." The gospel of salvation. This is the only answer to this problem. They need to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This is the only way they can be saved. That if anybody comes to you and does not have the doctrine of Christ, meaning if they don't believe he's God, if they don't believe he's the maker of heaven and earth, if they don't believe that he is the Alpha and the Omega, if they don't believe that it was God who shed his blood to purchase this church, if they don't believe that that he can save you, don't invite them in. On the other hand, you need to witness to them. That's their only salvation. But I want you to know something, my friend. Why would anyone not believe that there is a God? Why would somebody make such a statement? The Bible tells me in Romans chapter 1, he says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, and he has showed it to all. All you have to do is get outside on a storm. And everybody has seen a storm. You've seen lightning. You've seen what God can do with hurricanes and tornadoes. Let them come outside and they see the wrath of God. Let lightning strike close by. Every time there's thunder and there's lightning, and even when you're inside your house, don't you get scared and say, oh my God, have mercy on us, especially if you're driving. God has revealed it to them. They have no excuse. Just to say, there is no God, there is no excuse for that. God has shown to them even the invisible things that are clearly seen, even the firmament. The firmament declares the glory of God. As a little child, I've said this story before, but as a little child, I still remember when I was 5 or 6 years old, I remember laying on the ground in front of my house, looking up to heaven. I hadn't been taught very much. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. Nevertheless, as a 4, 5, 6 year old kid that I was, I looked into the sky and I knew there was a God. All you have to do is look. You can look through any heathen nation, it don't matter who it is, civilized or uncivilized, they all believe there is a God. When you talk to them, they know there is a God just by the things that they see. There is no excuse. But you know, the thing is that many people believe or want to say, maybe just to make a statement, maybe just to feel very macho, maybe just to feel very different. So many people like to feel different. The thing is that there's salvation only in Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Peter made a statement that really floored me. I didn't get saved till I was 36 years old. I had been raised in a religion that taught me that Jesus Christ was God. But they also taught me that I could go to Mary. Every time that we prayed a rosary, every time that I went to confession and they told me, say a couple of Hail Marys. And I would say, Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. What was I doing? I was praying to a co-mediatrix, a co-redemptress. Even though they didn't deny Jesus, they're still telling me to pray to somebody else. It's still the same. Not until I came and began to read the scriptures. Then I understood why we never took a Bible to church. When I read what Peter had to say in the book of Acts chapter 4 verse 12. This really floored me. Because Peter was talking about Jesus Christ. And he says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Amen. There is no other name. And I had been praying to a goddess. I had prayed to saints. And so many people. But I want to tell you something. Even though you believe there is a God, that still doesn't save you. You need to believe that Jesus is God. You need to put your faith and trust in Jesus. So even though it is a big fool who says there is no God, you're still a fool if you don't believe Jesus is God. The Lord is very serious about His name. But let me give you also God's answer. Why somebody would say there is no God. It tells you right here. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. I want you to know that everybody who says there is no God, the reason they say it is not that they're ignorant. They can have a PhD. They can be a scientist. It doesn't matter what education you have, what kind of background you have, what church you belong to. The thing is that those who say there is no God is because they're in sin. That's what the Bible is saying here. They have done abominable works. That's why they say there is no God, because they can't deal with the sin. You see, God left us three witnesses. He left the Spirit. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God will convict the world of sin. They're convicted of sin. They don't know how to get rid of it. They know something's terribly wrong. So instead of dealing with sin, they say, okay, there's no God. That's how they deal with it. But they have fooled themselves. Not only that, but God also calls them that they're also fools. They're in denial. But even the Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter, he said, just like we had false prophets, you're also going to have false teachers. And they're going to come in denying, bringing damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, bringing upon them swift destruction. You know, many times people say, well, there is no God. Because they think and they've heard sometimes that, the thief on the cross, he got saved at the last minute. Or many people think, well, I'm just going to wait until I'm older. I'm going to wait until I graduate from college. Or I'm going to wait until I retire to serve God. And in the meantime, they go on doing everything that's wrong. They don't realize that God will take them very swiftly. That's what the Bible is saying. That's what Peter is saying. Destruction will come very swiftly. I had an uncle that I used to admire very much. He was like my brother to me. His mother was my grandmother. He had been in the military. He had attained to the highest rank you can as a non-commissioned officer. He had gone to Vietnam 3 times. He retired at a very early age with 20 years in the department, or rather with the military. I used to look up to him. He was in good shape. He was an infantryman. He was an expert. He had been a drill instructor. This man was in tip-top shape. But when he retired, he thought he would continue living the life he always had. He went and played 3 baseball games one day. He came home, sat on his chair. He had a heart attack and died quickly. I want to tell you, my friend, that destruction sometimes comes very quickly. It comes very swiftly. So even though you might be saying, well, there is no God, you're trying to justify your sin. You're doing corruptible things. You're corrupt. You're no good. You're doing things that you ought not to be doing. And you don't know how to justify it. The Spirit of God has convicted you. But there's no escape. The best thing to do, my friend, is to ask Jesus to save your soul even this day. You don't have to wait around. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. But you know, let's go to my next place. Go to the book of Luke. The book of Luke on chapter 12. Book of Luke, chapter 12. On verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, I'm planning, or it is my desire, to build me a garage in this December. And I've told some people this, and I don't remember who. I've told many. But there was one brother who says, now, brother, you need to remember, you ought not to build bigger barns. I don't have a garage. The thing is that God is not saying nothing against building a bigger barn. God is in the business of blessing you. But I want you to know that who he's talking to here. He's talking to somebody who thought that this life consisted of the things that you possessed. That's what he's talking about. This is the one he's calling a fool. This guy did everything for himself and did nothing for God. This guy was poor in the things of God. He was very rich. A long time ago, I remember reading a t-shirt that somebody had. And he said in the back, the one with the most toys, when he dies, he wins. And that's exactly what God is talking about. If you think that this life consists of the things that you possess, you're a fool. That's what God is talking about. But there's nothing wrong with building a bigger. You know, the thing is, stuff accumulates. You need some place to work on your vehicle. I have to work outdoors and in the sand. It's hard to do that. There's nothing wrong with building a garage. There's nothing wrong with having a big house. There's nothing wrong with buying the best car you can buy. It's when you put these things first and you let the things of this world dominate you. And then when you die, you have been a fool. Especially if you die and you have neglected the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think that that accumulating things in this world, you'll find out that it didn't matter. You'll find out that the only thing that mattered was the things that you do for the Lord. And that's exactly what we have here. But the Lord went on to talk and to explain some things. And he says on verse 31, seek ye first the kingdom. In Matthew he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, this is the number one thing that you should do. So many times people think that that we're all the children of God. Even a very big religious leader of San Antonio, even this week they had a big convention in some university. And that was one of his comments. We're all the children of God, not according to God's word. Not according to the book of Romans chapter 9 verse 8. We're not all the children of God. That's why Jesus is saying here, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You want to be blessed? You need to become a Christian first. That's exactly what he's saying. And then on verse 33 he says, how about giving alms? How about giving some things? How about giving some love offerings? Why don't you set up a savings account in heaven? How come everything has to be here on earth? That's what the Lord is telling you. I don't like to preach on giving, but that's what it says in the scriptures. That's what Jesus is saying. He says you need to be rich with God. Get saved first and start giving. Necessarily, it doesn't have to be just money all the time. How about your services? How about your body? How about when we have a work day here, how come you don't show up? How come when we go door knocking or street preaching, how come you're not there? How come you can't give a little? That's what God is talking about. You want to be rich towards God? Number one is get saved. Number two, how about giving some alms? But you know, number three, he says on verse 35, let your loins be girded. Girded about and your lights burning. In other words, let your loins be girded with truth, he says in the scriptures. Let your lights be burning. In other words, don't put them on dim. Nobody can see you. You have to be burning bright. You don't light up a light at night or a candle and hide it under a bushel. You don't hide it under the bed. You want people to see it. Last night when it was raining very hard immediately, you know what I did? I got my flashlights and I put them strategically in places where we can find them in the dark. And of course, when it does blow out and it happens so many times, we want to have some lights. We want to be able to see. I don't turn on my flashlight and put it underneath my bed. I can't see nothing. And that's the same thing with your life. You ought to be a shining bright light. God says, let your lights be burning all the time. They have to be burning bright. That's exactly what he's saying. You know, Friday, I was watching Hannity and Combs. I love to watch the news. And this time, they were in Dallas. They're traveling throughout the country, stopping in different cities. And they brought different people that are living in Dallas. And they brought in three celebrities. On one of the occasions, they had them right there between Hannity and Combs. Two of them were actresses that live in Dallas. I'm not going to mention their name. They're not important. But right in the middle sat a guy by the name of Randy White. He made the Hall of Fame. He played with the Dallas Cowboys. And one of the questions they asked him, Mr. White, what do you consider a highlight in your life? What was very important, something important that you have done in your life? He says, Tom Landry coached me. And everybody was applauding. And then he said, you know one thing I learned from Landry? He told me, put God first. Put family second. And then whatever you do, that's third. He said, I thought football was number one. He said, but he taught me different and now I understand. That's exactly what I do. God is number one in my life. He says, I don't feel led to preach in the streets of Dallas, but I tell people face to face. You know, and the thing is, did God allow them to win the world championship? God is not against progress. He's not against you getting a bigger barn or getting a bigger house or winning the world championship. But He wants you to put Him number one. Amen. You put Him number one, He's still going to bless you.
That's right.
It's when you put Him second and third, and so many Christians, that's what they do. They're going to get saved, but the Bible says, yet so, and by fire. It's going to be a chain. God is also calling those Christians fools. They're not rich towards God. They're rich to the things of this world. Many people have gotten saved and they think, okay, that's it. I don't have to give. I don't have to do. I don't have to go. I don't have to tell. And you become poor in the things of God. It's a chain. It's a chain for somebody to say, there is no God. It's a chain for somebody to not to put God first. It's a chain not to get saved. But it's also a chain for a Christian to put God number three or somewhere down the line.
Amen.
A fool is being called for neglecting his soul. But let's go to the next one, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. On verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? I want you to know, first of all, these were not just passerbys. These were not just guys that just happened to be on the road to Emmaus. These were guys who had been with the apostles. These were guys who knew the scriptures. These were guys who had read the scriptures. And God got after them. But I want you to know that they were there when the ladies came from the sepulcher. And they came in because their testimony is, we were astonished when we heard what they had to tell us. That Christ was no longer there. It was more than one lady. They also knew that in the scriptures, he says in Deuteronomy 17 and chapter 19, he says that at the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. They had the testimony. They had the two or three witnesses. And they also said, we spoke to angels who said, he is alive. They also were there when John and Peter returned and said, the tomb is empty. He's alive. He's nowhere to be found. Three times the testimony of two and three witnesses was given to them. And it shows me obviously that they had read the scriptures. These guys knew what the scripture said. It wasn't that fools because you never read. He says, oh fool, because you're slow to believe. These guys had read the scriptures. What a shame. And it's amazing how so many people nowadays we can say, oh, they were really fools. But there's many Christians just the same. They have read the scriptures. You have been told, you have been given a witness. Not only that, but our God Almighty, He also left us witnesses. The Bible says that He first of all left the Spirit of God to be a witness, to testify to all that we're all sinners. To convict the world of sin. The Bible says that it also left us the water. The water is the Word. The Word is the one that discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word is the one that we can see for sure is true. Because we see the prophecies in the Scriptures. We see the hundreds of prophecies that were written hundreds of years before and came to pass later on. There's not a single mistake in the Scriptures. And then He has also left us the blood. The blood testifies of forgiveness. The blood travels from the beginning of the Bible all the way to the end of the Bible. It teaches forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. These people had no excuse. No wonder the Lord called them you fools. But it's a shame when also Christians fall into this category. That you have read the Scriptures. The Spirit of God has convicted you. And you have heard it over and over by countless of witnesses, and you still don't believe. You still continue in your sin. You still continue doing the things that you've always done. It's a shame. No wonder the Lord says, oh fools. You don't have to stay in any one of these categories. But you know, The scripture is very plainly that at the mouth of two or three witnesses let every word be established. We have the same thing in the New Testament 3 times. We have it in the Old Testament 2 times. And we have God leaving us 3 witnesses. We are not to look so hard on these guys and say, well, they should have believed. They were there. They heard Peter and John. They knew these guys were truthful. They had been here with Jesus. They had been in the multitude. They had been in the group. But what about us? We have the scriptures. We have the whole revelation. We don't only have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament. What a shame to fall into those categories that God would say, have to say, oh fool, and slow of heart to believe. But you know, my friend, the Bible also says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that Jesus Christ is here right now. Amen. Because that's what the Bible says. He says, where there's 2 or 3 gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. He is near. If you haven't called on Jesus Christ, I recommend very seriously and earnestly that you call upon him while he is near. Is there any place in the scripture that you can say somebody called and he didn't answer? How about the thief on the cross? When he was there hanging on the cross. Now, we don't have any background on that thief. We don't know who his mom and dad were, or if he had people that were saved, if he had people that worshiped the Lord. But obviously somebody told him. Somebody had showed him at one time, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Somebody had showed him Isaiah 55. Because even though he had gone astray and he had done everything wrong, when the time came, he remembered, call ye upon him while he is near. And when he heard Jesus Christ saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He understood. He realized, call when you're near. Call when he's here. He's next to me. That's when he called. He said, oh, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Did Jesus reject him? Did he say, no, I don't have time for you? Did he say, I'm too busy dying? He says, no. To me, verily, verily, today you will be with me in paradise. And that's what God will tell anybody that will just call upon him. But you know, my friend, the Bible also says that today is the day of salvation. Amen. Now is the accepted time. I cannot tell you when you get home, call on the Lord. I cannot tell you tonight before you go to sleep, make sure that you call on the Lord. You might not make it home. Over 3,000 people during 9/11 never went home. There's many people that never will make it home today. They will die somewhere, somehow, and you don't know when it's your turn. Just like the Lord told that man, thou fool, today your soul will be required. It might be that today your soul will be required. Why do you want to stay a fool forever? We've all been fools. We've all done foolish things. Foolishness is bound in the heart of children. But there's no doubt in my mind that many people have never grown up. The foolishness is still bound in their heart. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to remain a child. You don't have to remain foolish. Today is the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow. I wish you would understand that you don't know when the Lord is coming. I was reading a long time ago a sermon by D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody lived in the 18th century. He was a preacher. And he made a statement one time in one of his sermons that I read a long time ago. He said that there were 2 years where God was really moving through the United States and saving many souls. He says, and if you would just travel this country from coast to coast and talk to different pastors and preachers throughout this country, all the way from coast to coast, people were getting saved for 2 years. It lasted like that. At the end of those 2 years, later on they counted and they said that at least 500,000 people had gotten saved. Everybody was getting saved. Every church was lighted up. Everybody was calling on the Lord. At the end of those 2 years, the Civil War began. You know what it was? It was the Lord Jesus extending grace before destruction. It was the Lord trying to save 500,000 because 500,000 were about to die on the battlefields. Every battlefield that you read about, out of the 10 biggest battles, 19,000 was the smallest one, all the way to 51,000 at the Battle of Gettysburg. And the Lord saved 500,000 right before the Civil War. The thing is that many times God extends His hand. He knows destruction's coming. And just like He was crying to Jerusalem, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that stonest the prophets, how many times I would have gathered you just like a chicken gathers her brood, and you would not." And yet what He was seeing down the road was Titus was going to come pretty soon and destroy and kill many people. Many times, my friend, God is calling you right before destruction. You don't know what's ahead. I'm asking you very earnestly. You have to live today like if this was your last day on earth. This might be the last time you'll hear the gospel, that Jesus Christ came and died in your place, that He offers you salvation free. If you would just acknowledge your sins, repent of your sins, and call upon Him and put your faith and trust in Him, He'll save you today immediately. He's always got His hand extended. He always wants people to come and get saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you would just understand that, because this might be your last call. This might be the last time that we'll be around here. We might not ever meet here again. The Lord might come for us. Don't wait. Don't be the only one coming here to church next Sunday, and we've all gone already to be with the Lord. There will be a day real soon when that will happen. And there'll be some coming in here and say, "Well, I was planning on getting saved today." It'll be too late. This is the day of salvation. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Jesus Christ is Lord. He died and paid for your sins. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses you from all sin. Amen. Call upon Him today. We're going to stand up and sing 243. The altar is open. You want to get saved? Come forward. Ask the Lord to save your soul.